Welcome into the College Hoops Hive. It's been a little while since I've recorded a podcast on the greatest sport around, college hoops. And who better to join than Marky Futures, Mark Cundiff. If you don't follow him on Twitter already, this guy's an almanac for college basketball. And him and I have been interacting with college basketball for the last couple of years. And I always like to get him on the podcast for around March and do a little contenders and pretenders. So thanks for hopping on. I'm excited for what you have to say.
No problem, Leif. Glad to join you. As always, I'm looking forward to talking college hoops with you.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, and I'm hoping to ramp up the content here as March Madness is just around the corner, and I'll be going to Denver. So I'm hoping for the best couple matchups there. It looks like it'll be 2s and 15s, 7s and 10s on that side. So I mentioned contender and pretender. Mark and I've done this a couple years running now. So basically what I'm going to do for those of you listening is I'm going to run through the AP poll, which is not the way I perceive the best teams in the country to be, but it's just an easy way to do it. And then Mark and I will discuss why or why they are not contenders. And so it's contender or pretender, and maybe just kind of ballpark what we see their ceiling being. So we'll start with the number one team in the country, and that's the Houston Cougars. They're fresh off a game winner against Memphis. What are your thoughts on Houston?
I really like this Houston team. I think the experience combined with the toughness, they have really good guard play, and I think they're primed for a deep March run and, possibly even a championship at the end of all this.
Yeah, I echo most of that. They're the number one team in KenPom, and you and I have discussed this before. I'm a eye test guy before analytics, but I like to see if my eyes are seeing what analytics see, and they back it up. They're the number five offensive team and number six defensive team, which is interesting because if you asked me, I'd say they're better on defense than they are on offense. And I believe in their backcourt. Guard plays the recipe. They got Jamal Shedd and Marcus Sasser. Jarace Walker to me is their X factor. They go as far as he's able to take them when in those games where they're in close matchups. I think he's the guy who can really decide the game. And I think Sharp needs to shoot well for them to win it all. But they have the pieces. I think they're the most complete team. So I'm with you, contender. My concern for them, and I'll ask you this as well, I'm concerned about their late-game offense. I know they hit a game winner, and it was very calm and poised, but it wasn't exactly a great shot. It was a well-executed shot, but it wasn't exactly a quality look. They get a bit stagnant in late games, and they haven't played that many close ones, and that's my concern. But I think they're the least susceptible to, like, a bad upset because they're so good defensively and they're so well coached.
Yeah. Everything you just said, I totally agree with. I think Jarace Walker is probably the biggest X factor on that team because he's had games where he's looked like, a top 10 pick. He's played great. And then there's games like most freshmen, he's looked pretty inconsistent. So, I think he's going to be maybe the story of this team by the end of their run on how well he plays. Same thing with Emmanuel Sharp. I totally agree with you. He's going to have to give them, big minutes, important minutes off the bench. So I'm right there with you on them, on Houston.
Yeah, I think Houston's the most complete team, as I mentioned. I'm not sure they're the most talented team, but they fit together very well. Number two in the AP poll is the Alabama Crimson Tide. This is a team that I think on paper probably is the best team in the country, but they've just got kind of bad juju going on right now. They've had the Brandon Miller situation, and that's very serious. And since then, they haven't been that great. They lost to Texas A&M. They played a nail biter, an absolute barn burner against South Carolina, who's pretty terrible. And then they scraped out a tough win against Auburn at home, though. And Auburn is probably a 9-10 seed. So that's not exactly a quality win in my book. So I buy them as contenders. I do. It's hard not to say that because they have a ton of talent, but I'm wary of them. They're a little bit less certain for me in terms of, like, there's more teams that I think could upset them.
Totally agree. Once again, a lot of talent on their team, they're so long. That's impressive to me, but similar to what you said, I mean, if they're not shooting it well, I could see them having an early exit in the big dance here. I know they were, I think, 7 for 36 from three against Texas A&M. The game before that, 8-for-31 against Auburn. I mean, anything past the first round, if they shoot like that, it could be an early exit for Bama. But similar to you, a high ceiling, but they're, you know, they're a team I think can lose first weekend, or a team can make a Final Four title run.
I have a couple stats that these may be a week or two old. I haven't updated them, but I have them on a notebook here. But I think they still hold value. So a couple stats that I think are important for Alabama if they want to contend. They're the top rebounding team in the country. If they want to contend and they live and die by the three, as you mentioned, you have to be able to rebound and create extra chances for those threes to go in, even if the percentage isn't super high. And then the second one is they shoot the eighth most free throws per game in the country. That's another sustainable way to score, because free throws are free. And you may not shoot them amazingly. They're okay at them. But that's where you score. And then the last thing I think is defensively, their length really shows. They rebound very well defensively. They clean the glass. And then the X factor for me is Mark Sears' three-point shooting. I think if you're going to pick a skill of any player, that's the guy who has to shoot well. Noah Clowney is probably the guy who really raises their ceiling the most, and in the way that, like, we described Jarace Walker. But the shooting for Sears is the most important to me. And then can Rylan Griffin or Namari Burnett provide consistent offense from the two guard spot? But I have to say this team's a contender. They're too talented not to be. But I won't take them to win in my national championship just because I have bad vibes around the team, and I think it's distracting.
Yeah, I think they're a team also that I'm interested to see how they play on the SEC tournament. I don't put too much stock in conference tournaments, but I think there are certain teams that have to play well. And how they've played recently, I mean, I think they have to show up in this SEC tournament, you know, play pretty well. So I'm interested to see that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they don't need to win it for me. They just have to show improvement from the last few games. Let's see. Number three in the country, the Kansas Jayhawks, the defending champs. Last year, a year ago, we both were not high on Kansas. Granted, and I will say this, we did this before the draw came out, and we thought their issue was it was point guard play. DeJuan Harris played pretty well. Remy Martin provided consistent offense. This is before conference tournament. We're about a year ago today, basically. Same situation. Their draw was unbelievable last year. Like, I see the selections committee's first seed, and it's Gonzaga, and I was like, okay, no surprise. Okay, they get Memphis. I didn't particularly love that Memphis was in there. And then they got Arkansas and UConn, who, in my opinion, Arkansas was the best four. And in my opinion, UConn was the best five. I know UConn lost to New Mexico State, but I still hold that opinion. I thought that was the best five. And Kansas got Providence, who overachieved. I love Ed Cooley, but that was an overachieve. They've got Creighton, who is very young, gave them all they could handle. And then Iowa, who was never going to be a five seed unless they won the Big Ten, which they probably did. Anyway, long story short, I digress. We're back to Kansas. They're going to be a one seed just like last year. Contender or pretender?
Definite contender for me. I think this team has a legit shot, you know, to definitely go back to back. I know we've talked a little bit in the past. I know you have a little bit of concerns with the front court. Just think if they run into a big, but at the same time, I mean, in the pick and roll, KJ Adams is pretty tough. You know, if he has a big non-athletic big trying to guard him in that pick and roll, I mean, he does a really good job with that. But 15 quad one wins for Kansas is pretty impressive. I mean, I know they're ahead of the field pretty far in that. I think the next most, what's it, nine?
I think it's Baylor with 10.
Yeah, Baylor nine or 10. I saw an interesting stat too. Kansas is 19-0 when DeJuan Harris scores 6 or more points.
Yeah, and I think they're like 17-1 with scoring, yeah, 3 points or something. Like, yeah, if he scores at all, they're in good shape.
Yeah, I think he's a huge key. I mean, I think if he is aggressive, that changes Kansas, because I've seen him play where he's not aggressive at all, and Kansas hasn't looked as good. But when they spread you out, they have five guys on offense that can, you know, they have shooters. I really like Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas, It's kind of been a roller coaster for me talking about them. So at the beginning of the year, I wasn't very high on them. But then I was like, man, this team might be the best in the country. And then they went on a losing streak where TCU ran them out of their own gym at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. And then they won a bunch of games in a row, and everyone was like, man, this is the best team in the country. And I'm kind of in between. My concern for Kansas is if one of their key players gets in foul trouble, they have very little depth. And I'm not saying you need to be super, super deep in the tournament because most teams play seven. But I just really don't love that their front court depth, their backup edge of four is getting better. But if Adams or Wilson get in foul trouble, I don't like what they do. And if I were playing against Kansas, and I'm not sure this will work, I would make Jalen Wilson score 35 points to beat me and deny Grady Dick. I don't think Grady Dick's the most amazing prospect ever. I've gotten flack for that all over. But if I'd take away the shooting and make Jalen Wilson isolate to beat me. And so because I think there's a blueprint to do so, I don't think they'll win the national championship, which, you know, odds are in my favor in that case. But they are a contender. They're a Final Four caliber team. And so far we're on the same page. Now this is where it gets interesting. And I actually messed up. UCLA is the number two team in the country, so I messed up. But I was looking at an old poll. UCLA lost Jalen Clark. Does that change your assessment of the Bruins and how far they can go?
Yes. It sounds like he's done for the season. I mean, they're still a good team. I think they're dangerous, but I mean, is Jalen Clark to you maybe the best wing defender in the country?
He's definitely among the best.
Yeah. I know UCLA is number two, I believe, in KenPom defensive efficiency. He's a huge part of that. So you're taking him out, basically, and David Singleton probably moves into that starting spot, which, I mean, good shooter, can give you some offense, but nowhere near the defensive, you know, player that Clark is. And then that limits their depth a little bit, you know. Dylan Andrews now has to step in major minutes. I think they can get to the Final Four. I'm not sure about title. I would like to see them. I'm interested to see how they're going to play. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on them in the Pac-12 tournament, but that really, to me, that's a huge blow.
Yeah, that's one where I think they were kind of a team that I thought could make a Final Four, and now I feel like I'm more Elite Eight type on them. So my concern is UCLA plays a lot of slow-paced games. They remind me a little bit of Virginia in those years where Virginia, and I know they got lucky according to many, and it's hard to deny they had luck on their side. But Virginia was better than the teams they played. Like against Purdue, Virginia was up a fair amount of points and blew a lead and then had to make a colossal, amazing comeback. Same thing with Auburn. They're up 10 points with 8 minutes to go. Ty Jerome picks up a foul, sits for 4 minutes, and now they're down six. Like they were up, but their play style makes games close and anything can happen. Yes, they won the championship that year. That's also why they were susceptible to upsets. So UCLA to me is going to have they're going to be a team that's not covering spreads for you. And that makes me concerned in a madness setting, especially once you lose a player, your depth is that's an important point that you brought up. The depth being lesser than what it was in a time where you play tight rotations makes me worried. How good is Amari Bailey? Can he score in the NCAA tournament? That's their X factor for me. So I think they're an Elite Eight team. Can they make a Final Four? Absolutely. But I just don't feel as confident in them without Jalen Clark. And now here's where it gets interesting. I think those four teams have been the best. I will start with this one, Purdue. I love Matt Painter. Every year I love Matt Painter. But I've been saying this since the beginning of the year when everyone was saying they were the best team in the country, and now they've shown some warts since. But I never have bought into this team because it is too hard to win with one dominant player. And you can argue, yes, their freshman guards are really good, and they are, but they're not good enough to carry a team. And what they do is late in games, Edie has to create and kick out, and then the other guys have to beat you. And that's why Indiana beat Purdue twice, because they said, we're going to make life a little harder on Edie, and your guards have to beat us, and they're not athletic enough to beat the athletic guards. So Purdue, to me, is the first one or two seed that is truly not a contender.
Yeah, I could see that. I think Purdue, for me, the draw is going to be huge for Purdue.
And that's a very fair point.
Yeah, similar to how Kansas got a draw last year, I think for me, I think Purdue, you know, if they're playing against a team that can really pressure their guards, we've seen them really struggle with that. So I'm kind of on the fence with Purdue. I will say this, I do have some Wooden Award futures on Zach Edey, which look really good right now.
When did you place those, by the way? What were the odds?
So I got him at 30-1, right around the PK 85.
Okay. So you'd seen him dominate a few games, but he wasn't crazy.
Well, he played really good early. I know they beat like Marquette, and they beat some other, maybe West Virginia. But
yeah,
after the, I want to say Gonzaga game, I you could just see he was going to have a huge year. Mm-hmm. So I got a better two on him at 30-1. And then after that, they played, who they play in the championship of that?
Duke.
They played Duke. And he had another really big game. So then I want to say he dropped to like 15-1, but I still was betting it because I'm, you know, I mean,
you're going to win.
So I think I have maybe 6 Wooden Award futures on him at really good value. I think I had, like I said, a couple at 30 and a couple at 15-1. And then I had like my last two were like plus 550, which I'm even at plus 550. He was pretty far ahead at that time. So I feel pretty good about that. But going back to Purdue's title shot, I mean, like I said, the one thing I do like about Purdue is they know how to get Edey the ball.
Yep.
You see a lot of teams, North Carolina, for example, can't get Baycott or don't want to get him the ball at times. And, you know, there's a lot of teams with a good, really good big that they just can't get him the ball. The thing I do like about Purdue, you know, they're going to force it to him almost every other trip down the court. So that's a thing I'm interested to see. I mean, he's stayed out of foul trouble the entire season. He's done a great job with that. So I'm interested to see Purdue's draw. I think matchups are going to be huge for them.
And I agree with you. I'm firmly on the, I'd be surprised if they make the Elite Eight train. But let me ask you this. For those of the listeners that aren't as obsessive about basketball, because I think we're going to have the same answer. What team presents the most issues for Purdue? Like if they're a 1 seed or a 2 seed, what 7 or 8, if there's any, are you like, okay, I don't want them to play them if I'm betting on Purdue? Or just archetype of team. Like what type of team, like the build of the other team is problematic for Purdue?
I think an athletic, like a Kentucky.
Yeah.
I know Kentucky more in like that 6th range, but I think like a Kentucky would give them trouble.
I think a team like Texas A&M would be a nightmare.
Texas A&M, yeah. I mean, Northwestern, I know, is a projected 7. I think Northwestern already beat Purdue. I mean, you know, pretty tough defensively. Actually, Northwestern did, if you saw that game, they doubled Edey almost every time he touched it, and it looked like something that Purdue hadn't seen all season, and they really struggled with that.
Oh, I know that game all too well. That was my 8th leg of a parlay, and I lost.
So
he's
the last one, right?
Oh, somehow. So speaking of a bet, I don't really place many futures. I might need to contact you about some futures because I don't really place them, but I might need to and take your advice on them. So I made a $1 future on Baylor because I had like $1 left in my betting account. I was trying to transfer it, and it wouldn't. I had more money at that point. But anyway, long story short, I put $1 on Baylor preseason. They're likely going to be a 2. But I'm firmly out on Baylor right now. They can't defend. I love their guards. The reason I took them, and this has worked for me before. Baylor a few years ago, when you and I first started talking college ball, I told you with zero doubts, and this is well before, and you can attest to this, Baylor was going to win the national championship, and if they didn't, I'd be appalled. I kind of followed that train, and I was like, you know what? They got the 3 best guards. Like, they're going to win again. They're not going to. I feel confident. However, I was right once, so 1 for 2 is not too bad.
Yeah, I'm with you on Baylor. I mean, they look, how about like, for example, the Kansas game, the first half of the Kansas game?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you think they, like, it was at that time you're like, the Baylor's a legit title contender?
Oh yeah, I was like, oh my god, my future might hit like that. That's
and I'm like, this is the team I've expected to see all season. Like,
exactly.
Kind of that Baylor.
And they for those of you who don't know, real quick, sorry, they were up 17 at half, and then got blitzed in the second half. But that was at Kansas too, for everyone listening.
And just like, I mean, the Iowa State game, a game they should win at home game, and just don't show up. So, yeah, Baylor's going to have to get hot. They're another team, like I said, conference tournament. I think they're almost going to have to win the Big 12 tournament and have that kind of momentum in order to, you know, maybe make a deep run. I kind of feel that way with Baylor. They need to get it rolling because they have not played well lately. I mean, yeah, every day John's back, which is nice, but he's, you know, he's not the same defensive player.
Yeah, he's not. He can't slide anymore. And that's where their issue is. They needed an interior defender, and they needed their guards to be a little better on the point of attack. They're all great offensively, but they're not. None of them are great defensively. Davion Mitchell was the best defender in the country that year, and Jared Butler was a better defender than any of these other guards are.
Yeah.
So here's a stat. Baylor's 90th in KenPom defensive efficiency. So typically a team to be a contender is going to be top 25 in both offense and defense. They're second offensively, 90th defensively. So that's where I think I feel pretty confident they're not a contender. It's too hard to win games when you're playing, like, you're just so reliant on offense. Another two seed, probably, that follows a similar recipe. Marquette, fourth in offense. I wish I had placed a future on their Big East. Early in the year, I watched them play, and I told my buddies in a group chat that I really like Marquette. I think they're going to win the Big East. And I was kind of made fun of. So they win the Big East. I didn't place any bets, so shoulda, coulda, woulda. But do you buy them as a contender or not?
Not a title contender.
Yeah.
Maybe a team, for me, Sweet 16, maybe Elite 8 type of team. Really good offensive team. And, I mean, Shaka Smart has done. How good a job has he done?
Shaka can coach. Yeah. People hate unnecessarily on him.
Yeah. So I'm more of a pretender, like I said, for a title run, but I mean, Marquette's had a really impressive year. And you know, you never know with them. I think they'll be what, a three seed?
Like, yeah, two or a three, depending how far they get in the Big East.
So.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. Let's see who else are going to be the twos likely. So I'll go to another Big 12 team that follows a similar script. They're a good offensive team, but actually their defensive efficiency is better. Kansas State, I'll admit, I was calling the phony card on them for much of the year. And then I watched them a little closer, and I started to buy them a little more. But I still don't think they've got – I just don't think they've got a way to make it super deep. They're very reliant on a few players. They are veterans, so they're good in close games. But I've got a kind of a Sweet 16 cap on them. And I hope I'm wrong. Jerome Tang should be the National Coach of the Year.
Agree. And how about the Keontae Johnson kind of story? Make one of the better stories of the year, I think, in college basketball, just the way he's been able to come back. Speaking of your Baylor future, I got so Kansas State, it was right before they beat Texas. I got one future on Kansas State. How about this? 500-1. Kansas State. I got a $5 bet on Kansas State. And, you know, now they're down to, I don't know, maybe 40 or 50 to one. But I thought that was an interesting number. And I'm like, you know, that's when they kind of blew out Texas.
Yeah, 116, 103.
Yeah. But anyways, as far as Kansas State, I mean, they're an exciting team. I like watching them. I think they're going to, whoever they're playing, I think you're going to see them. They're going to be in one of the more entertaining games or two, however far they get. But I agree with you. Maybe Sweet 16, more of a pretender on them to actually, you know, win it or even the Final Four run. So I'm going to say pretender in Kansas State.
All right. So there's one team here that I've kind of omitted from where I'd rank them, but I'm just kind of following, looking at KenPom, following the trains of thoughts. One team I buy as a contender. I'm not all the way sold on them. I don't love them, but I'm pessimistic overall on this season. Most of these teams, I think, are not that great compared to past years. Texas is the 2 seed, a projected 2 that I buy more than these other projected 2s or 3s. I think Texas has a recipe that works. They defend. They've got a lot of players that can play. So if one guy's having an off night, they're not overly reliant on him. They've got veteran guards. Marcus Carr is a 6th year. Serge Ibaka Rice is a 5th or 6th year. Timmy Allen, same idea. I will say I don't love their teamwork at the end of games. They get a bit stagnant, but I think that their talent recipe and defensive tenacity at times is a recipe that I buy. So they're the 2 seed that I buy most seriously as a contender.
Yeah, I'm with you on Texas. I know they're one of the few teams top 20 offensive and defensive efficiency.
Yep, just 1 of 4.
Veteran guard play. Serge Ibaka Rice, one of the top 6 men for sure in the country. I'm really high on Texas. For a 2, I agree with you. I think of the 2s, I probably would say they're, you know, probably my highest ceiling team. I could definitely see them Final Four, and depending on their draw, you know, I think they're a sneaky team to get to the final game. I'm interested to see their draw as well, though. We are going to be matched up with, but I like Texas too. I'm a contender on Texas.
Yeah, I am there. So we got 2 more teams I think could be 2s, maybe a 3, because obviously we're about 9 teams deep here. We're going to go with 2 teams that have obvious ties, the Gonzaga Bulldogs and the Arizona Wildcats. Gonzaga, obviously coached by Few, who formerly had Tommy Lloyd now at Arizona. Both these teams were hyped up preseason, and I would say have underwhelmed, but have had flashes of being impressive. I'm going to go with pretenders for both. And my logic is I don't think Gonzaga's guards are good enough, and they put too much stress on Drew Timmy. They've played better of late, but I also don't think it's exactly a fair narrative to say they've played better of late you have to start playing better. You're more experienced than teams you're playing, and you're playing inferior athletic levels. So I'm out on Gonzaga. I think Sweet 16 is their ceiling. And Arizona, a lot of people really like Arizona. I don't think Kirk Creese is a point guard. He's a 2 guard, in my opinion. And Azulis Tubelis has had a great year. And Umar Balo's much, much improved. However, I just have my skepticism that they can score well enough while defending at a high level. They can do 1 of the 2. They can defend really well, and they slow the pace up, and they don't score as easily. And then they can score really well, but they don't defend very well. So I just don't think they play a holistic enough game.
All right, let me ask you this. So only 2 times in the last 25 NCAA tournaments has there been all the two seeds that are made it to the Sweet 16. So there's a pretty good chance, obviously, a 2 seed is going to fall in that first weekend. I think Arizona would be that team for me. Just with their guard play, I'm not high on Arizona for that fact. Obviously, a really good front court. But I'm with you on Arizona. I don't trust their guards. Kirk Risa, you know, they're just very streaky. So I'm out on Arizona. On the other hand, Gonzaga, I've really been impressed with them. I was kind of more in the pretender range with them, but did you see them? Did you see the St. Mary's game?
Yeah, they pressed them. I think that was a good coaching move, but St. Mary's plays a very particular style of ball.
I have a feeling about Gonzaga. I can't remember a team, Gonzaga team, that was this quiet at this time of year. Because every year it's title or bust, right?
Yeah.
We haven't heard that since the first maybe couple weeks of the season. So yeah. I think Gonzaga, for me, they're kind of flying under the radar. I think Nolan Hickman is, without question, the key to this, you know, the ceiling. Probably played his best game of the year against St. Mary's. I know they're not great defensively, but if they get it going on offense, I mean, they have, you know, Drew Timmy's been there 12 years. You have Anton Watson, who's a veteran, Malachi Smith, Strother. I mean, they have a lot of veterans, and I think Gonzaga as a three is intriguing to me. I'm looking out for them. So I'm a little higher on them than you.
I think a team that has athleticism in their backcourt would give them nightmares. I mean, Texas laid out a beautiful blueprint for Gonzaga, how to play Gonzaga. Even if you don't have a big, they just fronted Timmy and wouldn't let you pass. The guards for Gonzaga are getting better, but they're not great. And that's the issue.
I think real quick, they're going to have to likely outscore teams.
Yeah.
I think people forgot that Gonzaga put 100 on Alabama.
That's true. In Birmingham too.
On a neutral. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I'm interested in them.
I can see why you're coming around. I just can't unsee the beginning of the year for me. It's just too hard. Okay, so we've reached a point where we've named more or less 10 teams that we think will be two or three seeds. Are there any teams that we have yet to mention that you think can make a Final Four? And I'm curious if we're going to say the same team, because there's a team that I see a conceivable pathway for.
That can make the Final Four? Yes. I think there's a couple, but I think UConn is the first, yep, maybe that stands out to me.
Me too. That was my answer.
What do you like about UConn? Like what?
UConn is the team that I think, I don't love their point guard, and you know me, I'm a guards guy. I don't think Newton's great, but they have ways to manufacture scoring, and they're able to defend well enough to, even when they're off, have a chance. And that matters a lot. They don't score out of transition a ton. They do sometimes, typically at home, but they've been toughened up by a kind of a mediocre stretch to start Big East play. They've really been the best team in the Big East for the past month. I watched them play Marquette, who's an offensive juggernaut, and really shut them down. And I was very impressed. Newton's the key. Andre Jackson's the quiet leader of this team. Jordan Hawkins and Adama Sanogo get the headlines as all Big East guys. My reasoning for why they can make a Final Four is if they're in the East region, they play in Albany, and then they play in Madison Square Garden, and that gets you to the Elite Eight right there. That, like, the last time this happened, I looked it up. I went through all the brackets. 2014, you know who won the national championship that year? The UConn Huskies as a 7 seed, and this team's better than that one. They also play the Big East tournament in New York. I just think they're going to have some positive momentum. And I wouldn't be surprised if they end up being a 3 seed, which makes this a little less of a bold claim. But I think they're playing the best ball of any Big East team. And I think the Big East has been probably the second best conference at the top. Like, the Big 12 is better. Big East is top 5 is better than any other conferences other than the Big 12s.
Yeah, I mean, UConn's playing really well. I think they've won 8 of their last 9 games. And are we going to get early season UConn or the one that had a really rough stretch? I agree with you. I think they're definitely dangerous. I mean, right now they're projected as a 4. Can you imagine being a 1 seed and you got to play UConn?
In Madison Square Garden, that's scary part.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So
probably, at least I think they'll be in the East no matter really how you spin it. Another team that sticks out to me is I don't think they're a Final Four contender. I think they're a little too young and inexperienced. But I'm saying this from like a giant killer, and it's one of the Giants. I think Dukes would be a nightmare. Like as a 5 seed. Or they could even get their way up to 3 if they win the ACC. I don't think they'll get there. I think they're a 4 or 5. But I certainly wouldn't want to play Duke right now. They're really talented, obviously. But they're kind of coalescing at the right time. Their interior defense is so much better with Lively on the court. And they're finding a way to score because Tyrese Proctor's a really good point guard.
Yeah. Another team I'll throw out there I think could be dangerous is TCU.
I love TCU.
I think if, you know, obviously Mike Miles being healthy, if he's there, they're fun to watch. And I think they're kind of more like made for the tournament. So TCU is interesting to me.
Yeah, that was my next one. I think TCU is not playing great of late, but Jamie Dixon can coach. I watched them firsthand in San Diego last year play Arizona, and I thought they were better than Arizona, and they just got unlucky against a very talented Arizona team. I'll say this. Eddie Lampkin is a big energy guy for them. He's not with the program anymore. I wonder if that kind of dampens morale. One other team that I think has a chance to make some noise is Kentucky. I think if Cason Wallace comes back, they've got a chance. I don't love the way they play. They get a bit stagnant. They're really reliant on Reeves' shooting to space the floor for Shibue, and Shibue can't defend a ball screen to save his life. So that's a draw-dependent one. If there's like a ball screen point guard, I don't love it. But it's hard to deny that they're playing good ball.
That's funny. That team I was just going to mention is Kentucky. That was the other team. I mean, if you're in a – Kentucky's projected as a 6 right now. So what is that? They're going to play an 11?
11 and then a 3, yeah.
If they're playing an 11 – obviously more talent, but when you look at the 3 seeds, I mean, Kentucky has more talent than most of the 3. I mean, they beat Tennessee already. But from a talent standpoint, I mean, Kentucky's, I think they're dangerous. You got the former National Player of the Year, a couple pros as freshmen. I think they're interesting. Dangerous for sure.
All right. Do you have any more long shots, or should we call our shots on teams that could be eliminated early for the final minute or so?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. I mentioned I don't love Purdue. I got one more long shot. I think Creighton, real quick, this is a positive one. I think Creighton's got the talent to make a run. Their depth is not good enough to really make it deep. And then as for a team I think can be upset, I really like Virginia as a program, but they're not playing very well, and I don't think that – I wouldn't be surprised if they're upset round one. I'd probably pick them to win it and then fall in the second round for a team that was much of the year inside the top 10. That's concerning.
I agree. Another team, like a team for me, I think Xavier losing Fremantle, I think is, you know, I think that's a big loss. So I would look at that kind of for me with Xavier. Iowa State, you know, have a really hard time scoring. Caleb Grill obviously was a loss, and they've been fading. I don't even know where they're at. I know they were a 5, but they could be fading.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Iowa State burns me every time I bet on them, every single time, 0 for 100. Well, it's been a blast, Mark. Thank you as always for your time, and this has been Locked On, or not Locked On. That's my other one. This is the College Hoops Hive, and I hope you guys enjoy, and we'll have some more content soon.